This is Digital Story Podcast number 949, May 28th, 2024. Today's theme is a massive Lightroom update, including generative remove. I'm Derek Story. In terms of workflow, it's always nice to have the tools you need in one application instead of having to bounce around to different bits of software. With Lightroom 7.3, Adobe has taken a big step in that direction with the addition of Generative Remove. I'll explain how it works, plus some of the other goodies in this update, in today's TDS Photography Podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. So I'm working with Adobe Lightroom 7.3 today, and I'm working with it because, well, quite honestly, it's gotten to the point where it has everything I need. Now, just for clarification, when I say Adobe Lightroom, that means not Adobe Lightroom Classic, right? And unless you're doing something specific that you need Classic for, it's actually, at least for me anyway, more fun these days to work in Adobe Lightroom. It feels more modern, it's sleeker, it interacts well with the other Lightrooms out there, you know, on my phone and so forth. So anyway, we're talking about Lightroom 7.3, and this is a brand new version, just dropped not long ago, and it has all sorts of great stuff in it, and we're going to talk about the star of the show, right? Generative Remove, and I can tell you right now, it works really well. All right, so let's dig in a little bit. I'm going to talk about some of the other features in the update too, but we're going to start with Generative Remove because it is the showstopper. Firefly, Adobe's top-tier AI technology, it comes to Lightroom, and its debut is Generative Remove. Now, let's talk about Firefly for a minute because just like all AI technologies, this one does not come without its controversy, right? Last week, you'll know that I did a story where there was some criticism of Adobe's advertising of their AI technologies and how there are folks that feel like they're pushing photography aside as we know it, you know, while they push forward their AI technologies. Okay, so that is that story. That's an ongoing story, by the way. And that's ASMP story. So that's fine. And then there's the good side of AI, which is what we're going to talk about today. And it's really interesting about disruptive technologies. And AI, one of the biggest since the internet itself, is that disruptive technologies are controversial. And there's going to be parts of it we don't like. There's going to be parts of it that we're thankful for. And it's going to be hard to be all yay or nay on any of these things. And I think today is a perfect example when we look at Generative Remove, because for most of us, this is going to be a big yay, right? This saves us so much work. And it's not fun work at saving us. It's saving us painstaking, agonizing, masking work. And then how do you fill in, you know, those big areas? I mean, it's one thing to clone like a little plant out of the corner of your frame. It's another thing to take out a whole group of people that are occupying half the frame and have information that would naturally be there, right, that they're standing in front of, be filled in and have it look right. Okay, that is another thing. Even if we had the greatest Photoshop skills in the world, that would be very difficult and super time consuming. What I'm saying is that today is the good side of AI. Last week when we talked about ASMP's complaint of the advertising of Adobe technologies by Adobe, that was the dark side of AI, and this teeter-totter is going to continue going up and down for the foreseeable future. That being said, let's get to what we call the remove brush now in Lightroom 7.3. The content aware healing brush, that's what it used to be called, is now called Remove. And you see the little icon when you're looking at the Lightroom interface, Lightroom 7.3, the icon's going to be on the side, and it is like the healing brush icon. And you click on it, and now you have different things than you had before. You still have content-aware healing, and we want that. We want that in there, and I'm going to explain why we want that, why that's important, even with these new technologies. So when you're working in Remove panel right now, which is, you know, two icons down below from Edit, and you select the Remove icon, if you don't do anything else, if you don't have any checkboxes in that panel checked, then you're using good old-fashioned content-aware healing brush. And content-aware healing brush is quite good. We were all really excited about it when it came out, and it's still super practical. And it's really good for small objects and things like that. And the good news about it compared to the newer technologies is it doesn't use as much processing power. It happens quickly. We don't have to wait. It's pretty much instantaneous. And it won't use up the road. It won't use any of our credits. And I'll explain what that means. Now, if you have that brush selected, and then you check a box below it called Generative AI, now you have the new technology. And this technology is fantastic. This technology is for the bigger, more complicated things. Okay. So if you have a group of people, let's say you have a group of three people, a big blotch on your composition, you want everything else in the frame, but you don't want those three people there, that would be almost impossible to do with good old-fashioned content-aware healing brush or really anything else. Because even if you got rid of the people, what fills in behind them, right? Unless you had maybe another picture without them in it that you could clone from or something like that. You know, I mean, whatever it is, it's going to be difficult. But this now with Generative Remove becomes very simple, because all you do is make sure that that box is checked for Generative AI. And by the way, you'll see an early access badge there, and I'm going to explain more about that in a second. But you just click the box of Generative AI. Now that brush turns into Generative AI brush and not just regular content aware healing brush. And there's another box below that called Object Aware. And if you check that, then the application does its best to identify whatever objects you're choosing and isolate them from the background. So in terms of how do you select the object you want to get rid of, it's very easy. You can just have a big old brush and you just paint over the objects you want to go away. Just paint right over them. When you do that, and especially if you have Object Aware checked, then the application will take a minute and it will identify those objects. You'll say, okay, looks like this is what you want. And then with Object Aware selected, it'll even put a feather around the outside of them, a really nice feather. And this is important because this makes it easier for the application to seamlessly make that correction, that feather. Now, if they don't get it exactly right, then you have an addition brush or a subtraction brush, and you can fine-tune the mask. But I will tell you that most of the time, it's going to get it right. It's very good at this, right? So it'll get it right. So then, once you're ready to get rid of the object, and I'm just going to do another one right here. I've got one up on the other computer. It's fun. Let me get rid of another. I've got a couple working files. By the way, I will tell you that I have a before and after of this in the show notes. And the before and after, I was really impressed with it because I could not do that by hand. I don't have the chops to do it by hand. And it worked so well with Generative Remove, and it was so fast. So once you get the object selected and you don't want to add or subtract to the mask, right, then all you have to do is click an apply button. You just click apply, and it works very fast. Now, I have tested this application, Lightroom 7.3, on both M1 Silicon MacBook Pro and an M2 Silicon Mac Mini. And as you would suspect, it runs a little faster on the Mac Mini, but on normal things that you would take out It's fast. I mean, it's already done the repair, even before I got through the first sentence here. So it does the repair, and it has a little outline around it. It shows, you know, what you took away, and does such a nice job of things like if there's a board behind the person, that board is straight in the repair, you know, all that kind of stuff. If somehow you're not happy with it, you get three total options, right? So it shows you the first option, but you still have two more, and they're called variations. So you just click on the variation arrow, and you can go to variation number two, and it shows it to you. Variation number three, generally speaking, they're all pretty good, right? It's just a matter of which one you like better. Now, I'm looking at these right now. Variation number two looks really good. Variation one looks good. And then I like variation three, but it's different, but it looks natural. So, I mean, it's not that you just get three things that one might be a little better than the others. You get three different looks for that fix, and you can pick the one that you want. And this isn't like the early days of Firefly in Photoshop, where you get little thumbnails. You're looking at the actual picture you're working on. So you don't have to look at a little thumbnail and squint and all that sort of stuff. Also, next to variations, if you go through your three and you don't like any of them, which, you know, does happen sometimes, not often, but it does happen sometimes, then you can hit the refresh button, okay? And the refresh button then will just start the process all over again. My experience has been that the more you refresh, it seems like the worse the corrections get. In other words, I feel like you get your best shot on the very first time that you do this with the three initial variations. As you continue to refresh, I just feel like the software just begins to get, you know, like, okay, well, how about this? How about a bowling pin? No, not that bad, but not nearly as good. And it will insert things in there. It will hallucinate. If you keep going long enough, it'll start to hallucinate. Okay. So you're usually best, your first three are usually going to be your best shot. Below that, you have a couple other checkboxes. You have one for show overlay on hover. And this is very handy for two things. One is when you have multiple corrections in one image. So if you have show overlay on hover, then you just move the mouse around and you can see where all those corrections are made, and they have a blue dot with the outline. And then the other is if you need to get rid of one of them, if you need to delete one, you need to know where it is so you can hover over it and hit the delete key. Show overlay on hover is really handy for, you know, seeing your corrections and finding out where they are. And if you want to get rid of them, that's when you can. Alrighty. And then there's another one below it called visualize spots. And that really takes you to that high contrast, you know, line drawing where, you know, where you can kind of see your image a different way, in a very high contrast way, to identify spots and things like that. I don't use it very much, but it does have a threshold slider underneath it that helps make it more effective. So you can see more detail or less detail with that threshold slider. I'm going to turn it off right now because that's not the way I want to look at this image. If you're happy with the correction, then you are done. And it is fast. I mean, I got rid of something, honestly, I'd still be working on the old way. And it does a very good job. And it's using this very sophisticated AI technology to do that. Now, let's get back to the early access thing here. So there's an early access badge next to generative AI. And during the early access period, you can play as much as you want with this feature. There are no limitations. So you can just hit it and hit it and hit it. This is the time now, if you're going to use this, this is the time now to learn it and refine your skills with it. Why is that? Because once Adobe removes the early access button, this is what I've been told. Once they remove the early access button, you'll be allotted credits, and based on the plan that you have, that'll determine how many credits you have. Most of us have the $9.99 a month Adobe Photography plan. Those credits are for Firefly-based technology. Right now, when I go to my Creative Cloud account, I don't see anything about credits and all that stuff, right? I don't see any mention at all. I see my photography plan. I see my 20 gigabytes of cloud storage, and I see the apps that I have in a plan, but I don't see anything about credits, but I suspect that that will probably change maybe once they take early access off this first Firefly-driven feature here. Credits, I'm guessing, will come into play up the road. But at that point right now, you don't have to worry. Once the credits do come into play, once early access goes away and you're operating off credits, then you use, every time you do a brush stroke with generative AI, then that goes against your credits. Now, and your credits don't roll over from month to month, but they do refresh from month to month. And I don't know how much you're going to be able to do or not do on the photography plan, but my guess is that it would be somewhat liberal that, let's say, you'll be able to make 10 fixes a month or something like that. Right. But then after that, you're either going to have to get more credits or you're just going to have to wait till the next month to work on it. This leads us to another point, which is we don't want to use generative AI with the remove tool for every little fix that we do. It's not necessary, right? It's not necessary. You don't need it because the remove tool with generative AI not checked, in other words, it's not enabled, you still have very good content aware, which is excellent for most of the stuff that we're going to be doing. The little things, right? Just a little tin can on the path that we don't want. You don't need to use generative AI for that tin can. Just use content aware. It'll do a nice job, and then you move on. And if you develop good habits now, or at least have this in the back of your mind on how you're going to use this, then if and when Adobe does roll out this credit thing, then you'll be set. You'll have a good idea of when you need generative AI and when you don't. And you'll be just fine. Most of us will be just fine. And if you do need it all the time, then I'm guessing you just buy more credits, just like with anything else. But I would say, generally speaking, using generative AI for remove is going to be for those difficult things. Those things that are just like, in my case, there's no way I could make this correction without it. And what was fun for me working on this project is that there are shots that I have in my library that I've wanted to use, but I'm just going, oh God, I just don't have it in me to clean up that shot. It's a good shot if I can get rid of this, this, and this, but I just don't feel like it. Now, those shots have come back to life because now I just go bang, bang, bang. They're all cleaned up and I can use the shot right away. That is a big change for, well, not lazy people like me, but people who just don't want to spend hours and hours and hours in front of the computer working on a photo, right? I want to spend minutes and minutes and minutes on a computer working on a photo and then move on to the next photo. That's just my world. So that's where this generative remove is just going to be so huge for me. And then the other thing about it is we're going to have more of these tools coming. Right? More. This is just the first one. There's going to be more of this coming. So it's going to be interesting and it's going to be fun. A couple other things I want to mention is that there's going to be a couple other boxes. It should be in your panel. One will be for feedback and one will be for report variation. We want this tool to be as good as possible. If you just click after you've worked on a picture every now and then or as often as you have time for, just click feedback. Yeah, I mean, you just say, you know, they're going to ask you, did it do a good job, yes or no? You can just say yes or no. And then if you want to add more, you can. You can type in some stuff. But giving them that feedback helps them refine the tool. So then when it comes out of early access, it'll be even better than it is right now. And then if the thing hallucinates, if it puts something like a bowling ball in the middle of the ocean and you're just trying to get rid of a wave, then you want to click on that second button and let it know what it did so they can, you know, identify that variation and get rid of it, okay? That is our first look at generative remove. I have all of this in the show notes. I have the before and after in the show notes. if you're listening to this in the car or whatever, you can just go to the show notes and everything I talked about is there, including the sample pictures. Now, there's a couple other things in this update I want to mention as well. This wasn't the only thing, even though this was a really huge thing. Lens blur has improved. Lens blur was introduced not long ago. It is now no longer early access. Full-blown lens blur, and it works fantastic. It's faster. There are a few more features. Now, it's in the edit panel. To use it, it couldn't be simpler. You just have your picture up on the screen. You find lens blur. You click the apply checkbox. It will analyze the shot. It will do what it thinks you want it to do. Then you can fine-tune it with blur amount. You can choose the type of bokeh. And you can even play with the focus range. So what it does, it identifies what it thinks is the subject, and then it blurs what's behind it. But with the focus range, you can move that. You can have it, you can move so that the foreground subject's out of focus and the background is sharp. You know, so you can play with that. Generally speaking, what the application picks is probably what you're going to want. But it is nice to have that option. Now, here's the really cool thing that you might not know about. As part of this bargain, make sure you take a look at the presets panel. Now, you get to presets, they're above the edit icon there on the right side. Go to presets, click on the icon that's right above edit to get there. Then in presets, click on the premium tab. All right, now you'll have the premium tab if you have the photography plan. You click on the premium tab and scroll down to adaptive blur background. They have all these adaptive technology and presets. If you haven't looked at presets lately, you should. Go down to adaptive blur background, and now you get 7 different looks just by clicking on the preset. It's like strong, subtle, circle, that kind of stuff. And the cool thing about it, when you click on the preset, as you would guess, then it makes the changes right to the lens blur tool. So you can see exactly what it did. And then if you want to tweak one of those settings in the lens blur, you can do that. Those presets are really handy. You just go, oh, bang, hit the preset. Does a good job. Most of the time you're done, right? And you go on to the next thing. Or if you want to fine tune it, you can. So lens blur is really nice in this update. Finally, in this version of Lightroom, we now have slideshow. It's very rudimentary, but it is fantastic when you have been working on a group of selects, you have them in a folder, you go, okay, I'm ready to share these with the world. Slideshow is one of those things that just helps you make that final decision on all the shots that are in that folder, because you watch them, you go, good shot, to good shot, to good shot. You go, man, these are really good. And then one that you thought was a good shot, when you look at it in isolation, you go, wow, that's not as good as the other ones. And you may not have really noticed that before, right? But when you start flowing from good shot to good shot, that one that maybe isn't quite as strong is going to really jump out at you. So slideshow is nice for that. And then, of course, it's nice for showing people shots in a folder that you want to share with them, especially if you don't want them putting their grubby hands on your computer and clicking around, you know, as they go from one to the next to go, no. Here, let me just play you a slideshow. And just like you would imagine, you can use the space bar, you know, for pause and start. You know, it's got those basic controls. And that is also in the application now. You get to it by going to view in the top menu bar. Go down that pop-up menu to start slideshow. We don't have a keyboard shortcut for it yet. I'm guessing that that will probably come in a future update. One last little goodie in this update. You can now have file name and file extension. This is when you're in grid view. File name and file extension on the top part of the thumbnail. And so that way now you can see what the file name is, just for all your thumbnails. And if you got a mix of JPEGs and TIFFs and RAWs in there, then you can also see the extension. And you can turn those off and on independently as well. This will be also in the view pop-up menu. So that's just one of those nice little touches. So now you can see the file name and the extension overlay on the border of your thumbnails in Lightroom 7.3. That is a look at something that I think is just a heck of an upgrade. Doesn't cost us anything more. You can enable it right now. You just go to your Creative Cloud account. If you haven't updated Lightroom, then you just run the update and you're ready to go. For the photography plan, you get to run it on two different computers. I'm running it on an M1 silicon and an M2 silicon just for testing purposes. They're very close, by the way. If you have an M1 Mac, it's very close. And of course, this works on Windows and all that stuff as well. It's terrific. Generative AI remove is outrageously impressive. And I'm looking forward to seeing what other goodies come our way as more and more Firefly stuff gets integrated into Adobe Lightroom. I want to mention an article that we have in live view right now, and I'll get a free link in there for you in the show notes. It's called Lessons Learned from Selling Photography at Art Fairs. It's by one of our live view writers, Kevin Jordan, who's a terrific writer. And the reason why I'm mentioning this one is because if you're like me, over the years, you've always kind of wondered, especially when you go to an art fair, like, how is that? I mean, here's this guy, he's got his booth set up, he's got all these really impressive shots, but you know, I think my shots are just as good. I wonder how much work it is to do it. I wonder if he's making any money. I wonder. And you don't want to stand there and pick the guy's brain about his business, right? I mean, he's or she is there to sell stuff, not answer your questions so that you can, you know, be competition next to him at the next art fair. So Kevin, one of our live view writers, very, very good live view writer, has saved you all of that embarrassment by publishing what so far is a 3-part series on this topic. And he's been doing this for a couple years. He knows all the ins and outs, everything from, you know, here's what I think is the best tent to buy. Here's how you display your stuff. Here's the other things you're going to need. Here's what you have to do. I mean, it is literally behind the scenes for selling photographs at art fairs. Fantastic. Answers all the things that you've probably always wanted to know. It's a terrific series. The second one just dropped. I just published it right before the podcast published. So it's there waiting for you. A link to it in the show notes. If you're already following Live View, then just go to Live View, the homepage, and it will be right there waiting for you. You can read the first article. You can read the second article. And then the third article is coming next week. And like I said, Kevin's just done a great job with this. It's been fascinating for me to read as the editor of this. And I just thought, man, I got to share this with our podcast audience because I think a lot of you would like some of these questions answered as well. All right, let's take care of a little virtual camera club news. First thing I want to do is welcome our new Inner Circle members. We have a bunch of new Inner Circle members because the membership drive is over now, but it ran for 2 weeks and it was wildly successful. And I'm so excited about having all these new members in the Inner Circle. So both of our upcoming online workshops are just packed to the gills. We're going to have new people in there. We're going to have experienced people in there. It's going to be so much fun. And then our Inner Circle space that's on Derek Story Online has all these new people there. So there's going to be all those new energies, new photos, new comments, new points of view. It's just exciting, isn't it? I mean, it's so much fun. And so those of you who are new to the Inner Circle, I just want to say welcome. I am so happy you're here. I think a lot of you who have joined have been thinking about for a while and you finally pulled the trigger, and I'm so glad that you did. And for those of you that have been with us throughout this journey, welcome these new folks on board because they're going to make our life even more interesting than it already is. If you're interested in joining the Inner Circle, you can absolutely do that anytime, 365 days a year. All you have to do is click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. You can sign up there. Once you sign up, then I'll send you access to the space on Derek Story Online. and you can hang out with the rest of us. It's a lot of fun, and I think you'll really enjoy it, and you're helping to support the podcast as well. Big thanks to all of our Inner Circle members. And finally, I want to give a big shout out to our friends at Red River Paper, longest running sponsor of the Digital Story. I'm already thinking about some of the new things I'm going to do for this online printing workshop. And I'm going to be working with Red River Paper on it. See what's going on. What haven't we talked about before? You know, Drew, what haven't we covered? Let's cover something new. See what he comes up with. That's what Red River Paper does. I get to brainstorm with experts. I mean, how much better than that does it get? It doesn't. It doesn't get better than that. And not only that, not only do I get to brainstorm with them, then they also have everything that I need for my inkjet printing project. Everything I need to run an inkjet printing workshop is all there on the Red River Paper site. All you have to do is click on the tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. Nose around a bit, get yourself some paper, make some prints. Make yourself proud. I mean, when you have a beautiful print come out of the printer and you show it to somebody, it's a lot different than showing a picture on your phone. Showing them a big print is a lot different, and you'll see it in their face. You can experience that joy, that excitement, and be proud of the work that you do by getting yourself a box of Red River paper, making some big prints, and then sharing them with the world. And also remember, they have a Facebook page at facebook.com/Red River Paper, and a big thanks to them for sponsoring our podcast. Roy's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed learning about the latest version of Lightroom. Fire it up. Play with these technologies. It's fantastic. I'm working on some more cool stuff for next week. Until then, happy editing. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.